Today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Lamed Tes. We are holding on daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Umaridin Karl Lenichse Shavu Tanoihi. So we're in the middle of discussing the sugya, and the whole daf really today is about the sugya of someone who's a shavu, someone who's held captive, and he has all of these properties left behind. So what do we do with these properties? Do we just let them grow and not be worked and not have anything done with them, or do we set it up that someone should take care of them? Do we send a karov, the closest yoresh, to go and take care of those nechasim? So first thing we're going to discuss is that the Gemara says that it's a machlokas amoraim. We're going to suggest that maybe it's in fact a machlokas tanaim as well. And then we're going to talk about getting peros from a field that you've been taking care of. Let's say you were the person that went and took care of that field. Can you get the peros out of that field if you've been taking care of the field in the owner's absence? We're also going to talk about, once we're talking about getting peros from a field that you've been taking care of when an owner's no longer there, what about if you're a husband and it's your wife's property? Do you have the rights to the peros of that field? And we're going to discuss different types of marriages in that regard. We're also going to discuss, when do we appoint an apotropos and when do we send the karov? This whole idea of Moridin Karov Linichse Shavui, don't we normally have in Shas the idea that we have such a thing called an apotropos, that it's not a karov, you hire somebody who does this for a living. So when do we decide when to send a karov and when to send an apotropos? And then we're going to talk about this idea of Moridin Karov Linichse Shavui as it relates to a katan on either end, whether it be the katan that's the Shavui or the katan that's the karov that would be going to the field. And the Gemara Amud Beis is going to tell two stories that reflect a variety of halachos. Story number one is going to be a case where a woman and one of her three daughters were captured. One of her daughters remained behind. Another one of the daughters had died but had left behind a son. So the woman and one of her daughters is captured. We have no idea if she's alive. The people who are left here is a second daughter and the son of a third daughter. What do we do with this woman's nechasim while she's gone and she has no idea, and we have no idea if she's alive? And then another story where a man comes and he claims to be the brother of someone who lives here and is taking care of the father's nechasim, and the guy says, I don't recognize you, I don't know, you might be my brother, but I don't recognize you, because he had last seen him when he was very young. How do we deal with proving us that they're brothers? Who's got to bring the proof? So that's going to be the last story from which we derive a variety of halachas. Says the Gemara, about 10 lines from the end of the page, I believe is where we left off on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Umaridin Karov Nechse Shavui Tanaihi. Whether we appoint a Karov, the closest relative, to take care of the Nechasim of a guy who's in captivity, is in fact a Machlokes Tanaim. Titania Hayori the Nechse Shavui Ein Motzi in Al Samiyado. If someone goes to take care of Nechse Shavui, we don't take it. We don't take the property away from him. V'lo Oda Lafilu Shama Shemashpshenu Bayin V'Kadam V'Talas Shvachal Harizes Zoriz Viniskar. And not only that, even if he hears that the relative is coming back, so he quickly chaps whatever he can. He takes whatever payrolls he can from the field before the relative comes home. Zoriz Viniskar. Nice. Good for him that he took advantage of that opportunity. Ve'eluhei Nichse Shvuyin. And how do we define Nichse Shvuyin? Who's a Shavoy? Harishaya Aviv, O Achiv, O Echel Min Amorishin, Holchulam L'medina Siyam, V'shamu Ben Shemes. Nichse Shvuyin means that the person disappeared and you had heard that the person had died. That is case number one. That is not the case that we're going to show that there is a machlokas. We're going to show a different case is a machlokas. But that's the case they go, the Medina Siyam, you had heard that they died. Tosus points out, Hayori Nukse Shavoy, Ein Motzino Sobiado, Hu Adin Da Filu Moridino Solichadchila. Not only Ein Motzino Sobiado, we would send you in there to take care of it. Daha Natushim Moridino Rabbi Shimon. The reason we say ein motzi no samiyado is because we're about to have another case in the Brisa where it is motzi no samiyado, where we do take it away. So as a way of contrasting the two, over here we say ein motzi no samiyado, even though it's much stronger than that. We send him there in the first place. from Shimon Gamliel. Normally, when we have a machlokas tanaim that reflects a machlokas amoraim, so that's a problem for us, because why would the amoraim argue about something that the tanaim already argued about? And if they're going to argue, they should just say the halacha follows this tana, the halacha follows that tana. How come we don't say that over here? No, either they didn't have this brisa, and therefore they just said the halacha on their own, or they had the brisa, but who said what was confused. So they couldn't just say the halacha is like this one, the halacha is like that one, because there were multiple girsos of who said what in the brisa. So let's see what the machlokas actually is. The brisa continues. Hayorig the nichsein nitushim. If someone goes to take care of the nechasim of nitushim, we're going to have to define that term. Motziyin osam yada. We take the property away from him. Ve'eloi nichsein nitushim. What is the definition of nitushim? They went off to Medina Siam, and we didn't hear any rumors of them dying. We didn't hear anything about them dying. He says, I heard that Netushim have the same din as Shvuyin. So there's our Machlokas Tanaim, that the Tanakhama says that someone who goes to Nichsei Netushim, halacha is that motziin osam yado, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no, it's just like shvuyin, ein motziin osam yado. And as we pointed out, not just ein motziin osam yado, you put him there l'chadchila, you would tell him to take care. So it's exactly the same machlok as Rav and Shmuel. You have someone who's held in captivity, no word of him dying or anything like that. Do we send a karov to take care of the property? And then a third case in the brisa, hayori the nichsei ritushim motziin osam yado. If someone goes to take care of the properties of Ritushim, we take that property away. And that there's no machlokas about. What exactly are Ritushim? They were here just before and now they're gone and we have no idea where they went. So it's not a case where they were held in captivity and you just didn't hear any word of their of life or death and you have no idea whether they're alive. No, the case is that they left on their own. They left on their own accord and they didn't tell anybody to take care of their nechasim. So if they're leaving on their own terms, they should have instructed someone what to do with their nechasim. But they didn't. Apparently they don't want you taking care of their nechasim. So that's why motzino sim yado. We take the nechasim away from them. So I ask Gemara, Maishna Hani Dekarlu Netushim, Maishna Hani Dekarluhu Ritushim. Why are some called Netushim and some called Ritushim? Meaning, why are the people who leave on their own accord called Ritushim, but the people who were held in captivity and we just don't know about their whereabouts are called Netushim? So it says Gemara, Netushim Tebal Karchel. Netushim implies that they were taken against their will, and the reason that we assume that way is the chsiv, it's the lashon of the pasuk, that shviyas tishmatena unetashta. So it means al karcho, that shmita is meshamit, whether you like it or not. Afka asa demalka. It's automatic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cancels all the loans. You don't have the opportunity to decide yes, no. It just happens. Ritushin is a lashon of demidaitan. It's a lashon of a personal decision. Dechsiv aim al banim rutasha, that it's abandoned. Rutasha means, as Rashi says, ne'ezva. So that's something that a person that reflects a sense of choice. So that's where the lashon comes from. But the bottom line is we do see that the machlokas amoraim is already a machlokas tanaim, because that's the case of netushim, that people were held in captivity, we don't know what happened to them. Machlokas tanaim, whether you're morid karov linichsehem, tana v'kulin sham lahem ka'aris. And in all these cases, we treat it like an aris. We give them, if they have improved the property and have grown peros in the property, we give them a share like an aris. Aheya, says Gemara, which of the cases are we saying you get treated like an aris? Let's go through all the three possibilities that the Brisa had. The Brisa had the case of Shavuyin, where you hear that they're dead. Where you're even allowed to go, L'charchila, according to everybody. We had the case of Ritushin, where the guy left on his own, and you're not allowed to go according to anybody. And then we had the case of Netushin, that was Machlokas. If we're talking about the first case, the case of Shavuyin, Hashto Zariz V'niska Rava, Maida Ashbach Mivai. If we said about Shavuyin, you're allowed to go to Chadchila, and you know what? Even when you hear he's coming back, if you quickly chop and take whatever payros you can, great job, you really did a smart thing. So you need to tell me that that he gets a portion in that which he improved the field? Of course he's entitled to that which he improved. He's allowed to take whatever he wants out of that field. Ella, so maybe he's talking about a retushim. Maybe he's talking about the case of retushim where he's not allowed to go into the field, but maybe we're saying that if he did and he improved it, that we'll let him take the improvements. No, it says we take it away from him. Whatever he did, we take it right away from him. So that can't be the case where we're saying that he's treated like an artist. Ella anetushim. So what we want to say, it's the middle case, the case where there's a machlokes, where a guy was taken into captivity against his will, but no word about whether he's alive or dead. So the man, who are we assuming like? Which of the opinions are we assuming like? Ilem the Rabbanon, if we're assuming like the Tanakama, like the Rabbanon, Hamri Matsino Sumiyada, the Tanakama holds Matsino Sumiyada. So we would hardly be interested in treating him like an aris and giving him money. Irim Shumgum Liel, or giving him Peros. Irim Shumgum Liel, Ha'amar Shamati Shanatushim Kishvuyin. And if you're assuming like Rabbanon Liel holds Natushim is like Shvuyin, where we would send him to that property. So, and we would say, Zariz Viniskari, take whatever you want from the property. So then, of course, we would treat him like an aris. So says Gemara, no, when we say that Rabbi Shimon Liel holds that netushim are like shvuyin, kishvuyin velo shvuyin, they're like shvuyin. Sometimes we're medayik in the ki, that ki could mean same as or similar to. So over here it doesn't mean same as, it means similar to. So it's ki velo mamish. So it's ki shvuyin, they're somewhat like shvuyin, but they're not mamish shvuyin. Kishvuyin de'in motziyin osan miyado. There's such a comment that Tosa says in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says that Abaye says the best time to say Kriya Shema is kivasikin. But the Gemara Maseches Yuma tells us that that Hilani Amalka donated a golden menorah to the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone would know when to say Kriya Shema because the sun would shine on it. There would be rays of light that come from all, you know, would reflect all over the place. So everyone would see, it must be Higia Netzachama, so it's time to say Kriya Shema. So the Baal Yatos said, well, wait a second, Kivasikin means you say Kriya Shema right before Netzachama, because Tefillah is right after, Smich School of Tefillah. And the Gemara in Yuma says that they would see the sun shining, and that's when they would say Kriya Shema. So one of the answers of the Baal Yatos, Maseches Yuma, and the Daflam Zayinam Beis is Kivasikin, not Vasikin Mamish, Kiva, around that time. Meaning that's what Abaye meant. Not that you're really supposed to say Kriya Shema before Netzachama, but that around that time, in that ballpark, which really means you're supposed to say after Netzachama, very big Chiddush, because then Tefillah is Achar De'achar, meaning then you're not really timing Tefillah. Now we say Tefillah way before Netzachama, because Netzachama is like at 10 o'clock. But you know, it's late. But so anyway, we'll change the clock, we'll fix it. But Kishvuyin Velo Shvuyin. So when we say that it's Kishvuyin, it means not literally shvuyin. Kish shvuyin dein motzino samiyado. It's like shvuyin in the sense that we don't take it away from them. Velo shvuyin diluhasim zariz niskar viluhacha shaminin leka'aris. Because when it comes to shvuyin, then you'd be zariz viniskar. Then we would say, you know what? You take the property. Good job. But over here, we're not going to say zariz viniskar. We're only going to say that we're shaminin leka'aris. That's the difference between, according to Rav Shmuel Liel, between netushim and shvuyin mamish. That we're only going to be Shaman Lahem Ka'aris. As Rashi points out, Shaman Lahem Ka'aris, Im Yava Abaylim Yitlu Elu B'Shevach Karkaos Uperos Kaminag Arisei Amakom. That you follow whatever, when the Bailim comes home, you follow whatever the Minag of the Arisei Amakom is. So whatever improvements in the field, whatever Peros, that's what you would do when the Bailim comes home. It's interesting, Rashi says, when the Bailim comes home. And before the Bailim comes home? So it sounds like that before the Bailim comes home, he takes everything. The Torah writes that that's the Shita Sarambam, but Rashi holds that he takes Chela Ka'aris before that also, which is strange because the Diuk is in Rashi. So the Bach just points that out, that Lechora, it's hard. The Torah quotes Rashi as saying other than what we're Medayek in Rashi over here, that the Diuk of Rashi over here sounds much more like the Rambam, that until the Bailam comes home, that he gets to keep everything, that he doesn't have to split anything. So You know, this seems very similar. When you're going to someone's property because they're not here and you're taking care of it and you're improving it, so how much you get from it seems very similar to a case of a man who's married and he has his wife has nechasim, and he's going and he's taking care of those nechasim. So why is this any different from the Mishnah, Hamotzi Atzos al Nichse Yishtah, that if a person spends money investing in his wife's nechasim, hotzi harbe va'achal kima, whether he spent a lot and didn't see the peros of that very much yet, or kima va'achal harbe, or he spent very little but it was the investment turned out to be quite good, masha hotzi hotzi masha achal achal, whatever it is, if he made a good investment and he got a lot of peros, good, he got a lot out of it, but there's no reimbursements, whatever he got, he got, whatever he didn't get, he didn't get. So if he invested a lot of money and didn't get so much, so he lost out a little bit. Says Gemara, so why don't we say the same thing over here? It says, well, no. Halo damya laha. It's much more comparable to the following case. Hamotzi otzos al nechse yishto kitana. What if a man is married to a kitana, and we're not talking about a regular case of being married to a kitana. A regular case of being married to a kitana is where the father gave her over for kiddushin. Over here we're talking about a kiddushin midrabanan, that if a little girl doesn't have a father and her mother and brother give her over for kiddushin, that is only kiddushin midrabanan. She could do mi'un when she turns 12 to get out of that marriage. What if the husband had invested in the property that she brought into that marriage? Kimotzi al nichse acher dami. That it's as if you spend money on someone else's nechasim. Sa alma kibin dolo samcha daite takinu l'reban keich dolo sedinu. It seems that the idea is that since he has no smichus das, that he's going to have that property for an extended period of time, the rabban made a takana that he should get something so that he shouldn't destroy the property, because we're afraid that if he views it as a very short term, the way people treat rental cars, you know, that they're only going to have it for a short, they drive them pretty hard because, you know, you're only going to have it for a short time anyway. It doesn't, or leased cars, I guess, for that, but that it's not going to be yours. But something that's yours, it's more of a long-term investment, so then people are going to be a little more careful with. So over here also, we have to make special takanot rabbanon so that he doesn't ruin the field that he's taking care of on behalf of his relative. V'kulan shaman lehem karas. So we had this expression that kulan shaman lehem karas, that all these people we treat like an aris. V'kulan nasuye mai. So we said, what is v'kulan? We said it's referring to netushin aliba derab mishim mingamliel. Right? That's what v'kulan is. So Gemara says, well, come on, v'kulan has to mean more than just that one case. So what's v'kulan? All these things that we treat like an aris. So nasuye hadam Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. It comes to include what Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says. Shavu shenishve maridin karov v'nechasav. That if a person is taken into captivity, so we send the karov into his nechasim. Yatzal ladas ain maridin karov v'nechasav. If he goes ladas, he went away with knowing where he was going and not being taken forcefully, we don't send the karov to his nechasim. But Rav Nachman didei amar, boreach hareu kishavui. That if someone ran away, he's like he was taken captive. So he wasn't taken bal karcho, but he ran away. He was running from something. Boreach machmasmai. What kind of running away was he doing? What was he running from? Ilei mamachmas karga. If he was running away from taxes or from obligations that he has toward the government, hainu ladas. Well, that's completely his choice. He didn't have to run. He was afraid he didn't have the money to pay for it, but still, that's ladas. That's going on his own terms, and he should have said something to somebody. Ela boreach machmas maridin. Now, the case is he's boreach because he had killed somebody, and he knew that he was going to. Rashi points out, "Shaharges hanafesh uparsoi horgan al shvichas damim." That he knew that he was going to. There's capital punishment amongst the parsoi for murder, and he was afraid that he was going to get killed. So that's why he ran away. So that's not really called the das, because it was out of fear of getting killed. So that's what v'kulan refers to. That they're all treated like an aris is referring to dafka what Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, that if a guy goes ladas, we're not moridin karav l'nechasav. So that's the case that we're coming to include. So Maritz Chayis just points out that v'kulan shaman len karis says hine b'shas chakra al eza ofen ka'i hach v'shavim im al nichse shvim al nichse retushim al nichse retushim. He says either way, v'eich nofel lashon kulam al zeh. Kulam implies everything. It implies like a lot of things, doesn't it? That what we're saying, it means one thing or two things. So how do you say v'kulam on something like that? So he says, v'aymash kasam aran kasam mishnah sof perek vav milch yisodei Torah, where the Rambam writes, the kol malki yomar b'daniel chol, de'ein nofa lashon kol al shnei devarim levad. That the word kol doesn't imply two things. V'kan mashma de'nofa lalze lashon kulam. And over here it sounds like it does. Shuv mitzvah lebal yad malachi tesor b'zev herich harbe. So Maratz Chai says it's a ha'ara that the Kesef Mishnah writes that the word v'kulan always implies more than two. Two things you wouldn't say v'kulan, you would say shnehem. You'd say both of them. V'kulan implies a group that's larger than two. So difficult to understand the v'kulan in this context. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shavei Shenishva V'Niach Kama Liktzar, Anavim Liktzar, Tamarim Ligdar, Zesim Limsok. A guy was taken in captivity, and his field is laden with produce. It's ready to be picked right now. Based in Yordan L'chasav Mamidin Apotropos, V'Kotzer, Ubotzer, V'Goder, Umosek. So Based in right away, send someone into his field, and they take care of it. They do. They pick the fruits that need to be picked right now. And that's the acharkach. And then once they do that, once they've harvested whatever needs to be taken right now, muridin karov l'nechasim. Then they send a karov into the nechasim to take care of the produce. So take care of the field rather going forward. V'lokum apotropos liolam says, well, once you have an apotropos, go in and take care of it. Why don't you just keep the apotropos there and let the apotropos take care of it? So the Gemara says, Yisod, apotropos l'diknani l'makminan. We never appoint, and if you look through Shas, when do we appoint an apotropos? It's never for an older person. It's always to take care of the nechasim of a yasom, of children. Rashi points out, the second wide line, apotropos l'diknani l'makminan, ein bezin torch l'mavakesh apotropos l'anashim gedolim, shenismali ziknam, for older people already are growing full beards. L'fishaloyim tzu'uhu, the bishlam, you're not going to find apotropsim. The bishlam, they ask me, ikad shamalu vavi apotropos, the dvar mitzvah. You know, people want to find meaning in their work. So I'm going to be an apotropos if it's taking care of something for your son. I feel like it's doing something. Avalidiknani, lo shamiluhu. But I never hear, that's not something kind of thing that people are gonna do. You're not going to find someone to take care of nechasim of an apotropos. So we said that initially, though, we are mamin an apotropos to be both said the produce. A number of the Rishonim point out, the Rashba, the Ritva, a number of the Rishonim point out that you see from here that Bezin is not morid karov to nechse shavoy unless it's karka, but not a metaltalin. Meaning, just like Bezin is not morid and karov for peros ha'amdum liktzar, because they're choshesh that you're going to be mevala of the keren, they're going to destroy it. So to metaltalim, we're afraid that maybe they're going to destroy whatever's left. So that's why we're moridin apotropos. Meaning the idea over here is that peretz homdosli batzer is kibitzurin damian, that was omid likatzer is kibitzurin damian, that it's already considered like metaltalim. So that we're not sending a karov in to take care of. We're sending an apotropos, an independent third party that can be trusted. That he's not gonna do anything. So that's the idea. Now, okay. Says the just one more point. The Rashba writes that when we say that we're not mamin apotropos to nichse shavui, that's dafka. If there's no one that wants to be an apotropos for his nechasim, but if someone is maskim and says I'm willing to do it, then we would be morid, and that's why the Gemara makes this point of saying that no one would want to be an apotropos for gedolim, and that's why we're not mamin an apotropos. So the implication of the Gemara is really the opposite, though, that if you would find someone, if there is a market of people who are willing to be an apotropos, willing to take care of the property, then in a chinami, that would be a better option than anybody else. The Yorish wouldn't be able to say, I'm not interested, I want to take care of it myself, I don't want an apotropos. That's how the Rash writes. However, the Torah quotes in the name of the Rash that even if someone is interested in being an apotropos, they were never misaking such a din of being murdered in apotropos. There's a din of being murdered karov to the nechasim. So even if you can find an apotropos for the nechse shavui, the Yorish can be ma'akiv and say, no, it's my right to go and take care of the property. So it's all a question of how to understand this idea that you don't have an apotropos for Zakenim. Is it, unfortunately, we can't find an apotropos for Zakenim, but if we can, then great, then that would be the best, that would be really someone that we could trust? Or do we say that no, because in general we don't find one, there were never misaki in such a din? Okay, says the Gemara further at the two dots now. Amar Rav Huna, in Moridim Katan L'Nichsei Shavoy V'lo Karov L'Nichsei Katan V'lo Karov Machmas Karov L'Nichsei Katan. Three dinim about sending a relative into the property. First of all, a katan cannot be the relative that we send in to take care of the property. Second of all, if the katan is the one that's captive, we don't send in a karov, we don't send in a relative to take care of the property, we would send in an apotropos, but not a relative. Third, not a karov machmas karov the nixay katan. Even the guy that we send in nixay katan, he not only can't he be a direct relative of the katan, he can't be a relative of a relative of the katan. So ein moridin katan nixay shavui dimel mafsalu. The reason why we don't send a katan if he's the closest relative to take care of the property is he's going to destroy the property. What does a katan know about how to take care of a property? Below karov machmas karov, skipping to the third halacha, we don't send a relative of a relative of nixay katan, but where we're talking about where it's brothers from the mother's side. Rashi points out, that a katan has a paternal brother, and that paternal brother has a maternal brother. The ishnach riuetel katan, where he doesn't share any parents with this katan. So we don't send that achmeim to nixay katan because of the fact that he's his brother's brother. Why? What are we afraid of? We're afraid he's going to come and take the property on behalf of his brother, the katan's half brother, and say that it really belongs to my half brother. Doesn't belong to this katan. He's going to claim it was the father's property and it doesn't belong entirely to this katan. Velo karov l'nichse katan. We don't appoint a karov to nichse katan. Kiven delo machi asilach zuke bo. Bay, the same concern over there by the karov who can be yorish the nichse katan. So we're afraid that since the katan doesn't know to make a macha on the person, that karov is going to come to be machzik in the property, and he's going to say that he went to the property to be chalik the yerusha. So we're afraid that he's going to take advantage of the situation to try to take a piece of the property. Amar Rav Shmamina mid Rav Huna ein machzikin b'nichsei katan va'afilu higdil. That apparently what we see from here in general is that there's no cheskas gimel shanim by nichsei katan. Even if the katan is grows up after the guy goes into the property, because we assume that when you go in without when the kid's a kid, when he's a katan, he doesn't know how to make a macha. And the whole yesod of the cheskas gimel shanim is the ability to make a macha. It's not just stam, I've been living here for three years, and you never made a macha, you never said anything about it. Well, if he doesn't know how to say anything about it, because he's a katan, so then you can't be machzik in his nechasim. And this idea that we're not morid a karov to nixay katan is only if it's a karov on the father's side where there's a tzad yerusha. So we're afraid that he's going to claim that he was going in to be yorish the field. But if it's on the mother's side where they're not yorish the same people anyway, so there's no concern that he's going to say that he was yorish the field because they're not the yorishim of the same people. And even when it's a brother on the father's side, it's only when it comes to land, to fields, aval bibati leslanba. But we don't have any such concerns when it comes to houses, because when it comes to houses, the neighbors usually know what's going on with the houses, right? If someone puts out a for sale sign or something, all the neighbors are talking immediately about. Everyone knows immediately what's going on with the houses, so the neighbors will be able to be made. Uba arasa nami lo amran ela delo avid itda. And even if it's a field, that's only if they never made a shtar chaluka that clearly delineates who gets what. Avalavidita kal isla. But if they made such a shtar chaluka, then there's a call. We don't have to worry about it. Velohi says Gemara, but we don't pass like that. Loshna achidaba, loshna achidima, loshna arasav, loshna bati, loshna avidita, loshna lo avidita, lo machtinan. In any case, we don't allow relatives to go. It doesn't matter on the father's side, the mother's side, whether it's land or a house, whether they made such a shtar, they didn't make a shtar. We just don't allow it. It doesn't happen. There is a discussion when we're talking about katanim. There is a discussion in the Achronim about we say that we're not mamon and apotropos for some gedolim, but only for katanim, and what you can do in terms of katanim. Prima gadim and the Achiezer raise a suffix about chametz shel katan shavar alav haPesach. Is chametz shel katan shavar alav haPesach aser b'hana'a or not? Meaning, let's say you're an apotropos for a katan, you forgot to do mechiras chametz, so maybe you could just say, well, it belongs to a katan anyway, and therefore it's not going to be a problem of chametz shavar of Pesach. So the Har Tzvi points out that the Prima Gadim himself writes elsewhere that the chametz katan shavar of Pesach does not become aser, and therefore an apotropos that forgot to sell the chametz and comes the sixth hour, he should remove any achrayus that he has on the chametz, and then it will turn out to belong to the katan entirely, and then mele it's not going to be a problem, it's not going to be aser. In Chalkas Yoav, he's machriya, he says chametz shel katan or a shota does become aser, because all these suri Torah would that involve no maisa, that just our isurim that happened in Mela are applied to any Jew, even a katan, even a shota. It doesn't require any kavana to violate the isur. So that would apply even to a katan, therefore would be an issue of chametz shavar lav Pesach. Okay, now the Gemara tells two stories. Story number one, Ha'isa after Dahavila Tlas Binsa, an older woman that had three daughters, Ishtabai Ihi V'chadabarta. She and daughter number one were held in captivity. Idach Tati Binsa, the other two, as far as daughters number two and three, Shchiva Chada, daughter number two is dead, Shchiva Chada Minayi V'shavka Yenuka, daughter number two is dead, but she left a son in her place, a young son, a child behind, and the other daughter number three, is alive and here and well. Amar Abaye, Hei Chinavit, what are we supposed to do with the properties of the old lady while we don't know what's happened to her and she's being held in captivity? So what do you mean, what are we supposed to do? So normally the rule is, you are Morid Karov L'Nechasav. So great, so why don't we just tell the daughter that's here to be Morid L'Nechasav? Because there's another rule, that you're not allowed to be Morid Karov L'Nechasav Katan, but these properties might belong to the katan, because the grandmother may be dead, in which case the katan gets 1/3 of the properties. So the kaminu l'nichse biyada da'achta, what, should we just give the properties to the sister who's here right now? Dilma shchiva safta, ve'in moridin karl l'nichse katan. But maybe the grandmother's dead, and you can't be morid karov to nichse katan. It's going to be a problem. You're not allowed to do that. Nukaminu l'nichse biyada d'yanuka, should we leave it in the hands of the child? Maybe the grandmother is not dead, and you're not allowed to have a katan take over the property of a shavui. The katan, that was the other halacha, that a katan can't be the one that takes the property when someone's in captivity. So Rabbi says, here's what we have to do. Hilkach palga yahivnala la'achta, half of it we give to the sister that's here, v'idach palga mukminu le'apotropa liyanuka, and the other half we set up an apotropos for the child. Therefore, if the grandmother's still alive, so good, so we have a relative that's taking care of at least part of it, and the other part of it, we have an apotropos taking care of it. If the grandmother is not alive, so then half of it belongs to the daughter that's here, assuming the other daughter is also not alive, so that's with her, so half of it belongs to the daughter that's here, and half of it belongs to the child, so for the child, you set up an apotropos anyway. Rava Amar Miko de Mekmin apotropos lepalga, Mekmin apotropos leidach palga. Once we're setting up an apotropos for half of the field, you might as well set up an apotropos for the whole thing. Why complicate matters? This may reflect on that machlokas rishonim that we had. Is an apotropos really always ideal? It's just like the Rashba said, we just can't always find one, but over here you're going to find one to take care of half the field anyway for the katan, so mainly might as well just have that person take care of the whole field, because apotropos is always a better option. L'sov shamu d'shchiva safta. Then ultimately they heard that the grandmother died. Amar Abayi says, Tilsi yivna leila achta. So 1/3 of the field now that the grandmother's dead, 1/3 of the field definitely goes to the surviving daughter that's here right now. Vitilsa yavina leila yanuka. 1/3 of the field goes to the child. V'idach tilsa yavina, and the other third, we don't know. It depends on that third sister that was with the grandmother, if she's dead or not. Right? If that sister is dead, then that third gets split between this child and the sister that's here. If that sister's alive, then we should hold it for her. V'idach tilsa yavina dankal achta. So one half of that third, 1/6, goes to the sister that's here. V'idach dankal mukminu le'apotropa liyanuka, and the other 1/3 goes as you set up an apotropos for the child to take care of it on behalf of the child, because the child can't be the one to do the taking care of. Now, the idea, Dilma Shchiva Safta, we have to be concerned that maybe the woman is dead. Says Tosfos, is that generally a concern, that you assume somebody might be dead? Vim Tomer, Adnan Perikol Agela, maybe get Medina Siyam V'nichu Zakin Echola, Nosam Echesk Shukayim. When you come back from Medina Siyam with a get, and the last time you saw the person, they were a Zakin or a Echola, you have every right to assume they're alive. Says Tosos, an unbelievable chiddush, Yesh Lomer Desafta Yigil Gvuros, Dasam Amrin Ki Yigil Gvuros Cheshinan. That the Gemara says the chiddush that once the person has reached Gvuros, 80 years old, then we're already choshish. Then there's no longer a cheskas chayim. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva discussing how this plays out. Rav Moshe was asked about a case where a guy had lost contact with his mother for 10 years. The last time he spoke to her, she was 93 years old. I don't know if she was stuck in Russia or something. He hadn't seen her, hadn't spoken to her in 10 years. What does he do about observing a yard site, about saying Yizkar, about, does he just observe a yard site on the last day that he spoke to her? He has no idea. He has no idea about her. There's no Cheskas Chaim for someone over the age of 80, and it's been 10 years. So Rav Moshe quotes our Tosos, once he gil gvuros, no Cheskas Chaya, and he says, Machloks and Shulchan Aruch, if from 80 to 100 a person has a cheskas chai, and therefore Moshe says that you should say that you can say kaddish and be over lefnei ateva, daven for an amud, because it doesn't make a difference. You could do that misafek also, but he says don't do yiskar and don't say kel malei, because that's already saying shem shemayim levatala, and even if it's not saying shem shemayim levatala, it could be dover shkarim, that you're saying something that's sheker, that the woman might still be alive. You wonder if, like, in today's day and age, people are living so much longer, life expectancy is way up from what it was. You wonder why these chazakos don't change. But apparently Rav Moshe assumes it's not about statistically when a person lives. Yigila gvuros, that's just what it is. Says Gemara further, another story. Mari bar Isak. Mari bar Isak, Asle Achami Bechozai. Mari bar Isak had his brother return from Bechozai. Amale Plogli. So his brother said, all of the nechasim of our father that you've been taking, I'd like my portion of it. Amale Lo Yadanalach. He says, who are you again? I don't recognize you. Asle Kamed Rav Chista. So he came to Rav Chista. Amale Shapir Karmelach. He's allowed to say that he doesn't recognize you. That's totally fair. Shenemar Vayakri Yosef Isacha Vehim Lo Ikiruhu. Because it says Yosef recognized his brothers, and they didn't recognize him. That a person sometimes matures when he gets older. They left him when he was a kid, and therefore they didn't recognize him. So it could be over here also. If when he last time he saw his brother was a little kid, so he's not going to recognize him. So you're going to have to go and bring a proof that you are in fact his brother. I have witnesses, but they're never going to testify, because this Mari Barisa is a strong and intimidating person, and they're afraid to testify against him, to testify that I'm the brother. So he told Mari, okay, it looks like it's on you to bring bring proof that that this guy's not your brother. Mari Bar Isak says, wait, is that really the halacha? He's trying to get money from me. Why do I have to prove that he's not my brother? He says, yeah, that's what we do to alima, to people who are strong people and intimidating people. That's what we have to do, because we have no other option. He says, yeah, so what am I going to do? I'm going to bring witnesses that they're not going to testify against me anyway. So whatever witnesses I bring are going to say whatever I want them to say anyway. If you're so concerned that I'm so intimidating, so I'll bring witnesses and they'll say whatever I want them to say. How can you trust my witnesses? So I'm like, tarti lo avdi. Nah, it's not, they're not good. We don't assume witnesses are going to go that far to do a double avla, that not only to not tell the truth, but to not say what they know to be true, but to also say what they know to be a lie. We don't assume that witnesses are going to do that. L'sof asusadi dachuhu. Ultimately, witnesses came that he in fact was his brother. Amle liflaglinami mi pardise ubistani deshasal. He says, I would also like a piece of the vineyards and the trees that you yourself had planted and improved. I'd like half of the shavach of what you did to this property. Amle shapir karmelach. So he said, yeah, he's telling you well. The tanya. Hiniach Banim Gedolim Katanim, Vishbichu Gedolim Esanachasim, Hishbichu Lemsa, that if a person has Banim Gedolim Katanim and the Gedolim are Mashbiach Venachasim, that Shavach gets split down the middle, gets split 50-50 between everybody. Vechenom Rabba, Hishbichu Lemsa. So, and Rabba also said that the Shavach is Lemsa. Amalei Abai, Midami, Hasim Gedolim, Gabi Katanim, Yadi Vikamachli. No, when I'm an older brother, I know that there are younger brothers, so I'm planting knowing that ultimately half of this goes to the younger brother, so I'm mochel. But hacham yadu deleichel of here, Mari Bar Yisak didn't think that there was another brother that was coming to look for his property, so he wasn't doing this with a mechila in mind. Okay, we're right in the middle of the story, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up on that tomorrow. There's more to say on this story on the bottom anyway.